Maura, hi, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. It's really wonderful to chat to you on the show.
Well, likewise.
So I am really excited about the fact that you're playing in Leopardstown this coming Thursday as part of the Bulmers Festival out there in Leopardstown.
That's right. It's amazing. This this thing of playing gigs after the horse racing has really taken off in recent years, I've found. And it's great. It's great fun because you've got an audience there who've come out ostensibly for the horse racing, who've had a great day. Some of them might have made a few bob. They might, generally speaking, the weather, it can be outside or it mightn't be. Who knows? But it's always a great atmosphere. It's a festive kind of an atmosphere, you know.
It really is. I think it's a band name like the Hothouse Flowers. It conjures up all kinds of warm images. It's a great name.
Summer.
I love it.
Great. It's a jazz song, as far as I know. The jazz title, I think, is that. And it was one of those names that we had a name for our first gig but didn't stick, and then we kind of decided we needed another one, and then it just stuck.
You're one of our real iconic bands here in Ireland, and you've travelled worldwide. You're known abroad as well.
We had a great, very intense sort of first, goodness me, when I think about it now, we've been together 33 years this year. Wow. No, 32 years this year. Mm. And I guess certainly in the first 15 or 20 of those years, we traveled an awful lot. We were touring America an awful lot, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and of course all around Europe and the UK, and even as far afield as Africa. We played in South Africa, we played in Zimbabwe. Our second album was number one in Australia the day we were in the airport leaving, at the end of the tour. So we arrived into Australia, whatever it was, maybe 3 or 4 weeks prior to that, to commence the tour, and literally by the day we were checking in for our flight after the very last show of that tour, and we got the news that the album had gone to number one. And it was the only country anywhere in the world outside of Ireland, that home, that particular album went to number one.
Talking about the awards, I mean, we're really going back. I mean, you started busking as the Bandini brothers on Grafton Street.
We did. I mean, it was the most natural thing in the world to do. You know, when you leave school and you want to go out and get a summer job, well, go busking. If you're a musician, it's the most natural, and it's such a kind of an honourable way to make money through music, because you're, there's no middleman, you're just there with your audience, and your success, your financial success depends on your ability to hold an audience.
Yeah, and then fame followed very soon after, because you actually won Entertainment Year of the Year Award in 1985.
We did, the Street Entertainer of the Year Award of 1985, which then, I suppose that led us, the fact that we won that, it led us to making our first radio appearance on RTE Radio 1 on the Liam Nolan show back in those days. And it was a sort of a daytime show. We got to sing a few songs. And I think from there, the guys at the Late Late Show got a hold of us. And of course, those were the days as well, when the Late Late Show really was what everybody was glued to in the mid-1980s. You know, think about that time when there's no internet yet, really. And the Late Late Show is where everybody hears about everything. And so that was a huge boost.
Very unique time, as you said, before the internet really kind of became a really huge part of all our lives.
Yeah. It was also a time, I guess, if you compare it to today, and how music works. I mean, I think music works in music worked back in those days in slightly different ways, because everybody was going out buying records with their pocket money, or kids were. It was all about what album or what single you'd heard and not that it isn't like that anymore. It is, but it just becomes so much more, the way people access music and the way kids access all sorts of other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not just about music. I was looking at some of my kids even the other day, and what they were fascinated by was like having a look at something on YouTube or whatever, something really funny or so, it's all about these little clips of online content, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Well, back in those days, music was like, it. Like, everybody used to gather on Grafton Street and talk about what records they bought that week. People's identities were tied into bands and who they followed and who they loved and all of that. It still kind of exists, but it's different now.
But you have moved with the times, Fichtna. And, you know, only last year, in November 2016, you got number one in iTunes. With,
we did.
I can hear you now. I mean, oh my goodness. You have Jeremy Clarkson as a fan of yours.
Yeah, 26 years after it was released, it finally went to number one.
I know.
I mean, that was an extraordinary story. That, I mean, you couldn't make that one up. It was literally, I got a phone call one afternoon through the website, or a message through the website to call somebody, and it was a TV production person in the UK who then told me, and I was aware of the fact that Jeremy Clarkson had been a fan of our version of I Can See Clearly Now, because he had written about it in an article in the paper in the UK, oh, maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, a friend of mine who's a fan of Jeremy Clarkson's and a friend of his motoring column sent it on to me. And that's how I came to know about it. But then to get a call from the people who were producing the Grand Tour saying that not only did they want to feature the band, they wanted to open the series with us. It was like, kind of the mind boggles, you know how this happened. But it worked really well. It was very exciting, first of all, to be asked to do it. It was equally exciting, if not more so, to fly out to the desert just outside Los Angeles and film the whole sequence and to watch their operation in full flow. And it was extraordinary. Amount of people and all the extras. People traveled all over the United States just to be in the audience for the gig that we kind of put on for them, which they filmed. You know, they have a massive following.
And you probably, as a result of it, you, in terms of your own publicity, what a wonderful opportunity to...
Well, it was great to remind people all over the world that we still exist.
I mean, your latest recording, Let's Do This Thing, is also, it's just digital only, isn't it, Fichtna?
We have it up on our website on hotoutsouth.com. And that's the only place you can get it at the moment. And in fact, I'll be very honest with you, we kind of rushed it out to kind of coincide with the Grand Tour. And then I can kind of listen to it. So we're actually remixing. We're mixing it. We're kind of finishing it off for a general proper release. And of course, anybody who got it to the website will get it again for free because we have all their email addresses and all of that kind of thing. But that's the plan at the moment. We're trying to just put the finishing touches to that and do the artwork and the credits and all of that sort of stuff, you know. And then meanwhile, we've been back out on the road touring again. And we've, you know, we just recently did the Glastonbury Festival. And as you mentioned, we're playing at the Bulmers Live Festival in Leopardstown. Great to be busy.
You're so busy. Now that you've got more feathers to your bow, though, because you're also a broadcaster yourself. You've obviously worked with Tina G, and also with Today FM, Poetic Champions, and of course now on Radio 1 with Late Date.
That's right. I'm the weekend presenter of Late Date, and sometimes the weeknight presenter of Late Date, indeed as well, on RT Radio 1. I've been doing that on and off for maybe 5 or 6 years now, and it's lovely. I love it. It's a gentle space to inhabit, and there are parallels between it and playing a gig, because you're kind of putting together, you're kind of curating an evening of music in some respects, and kind of, you know, making sure that one song follows the next in a nice way, and you're also conducting a dialogue with an audience that are sending you in texts and emails and tweets, and I really love it, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of nice.
Give me your influence, the influences that are in your music. What really inspires you? What, you know, are there other people that you follow and that you really love their music? I mean, I know that there's a blend of different influences in the Hot House Flowers music. I love it myself. I guess Don't Go was one of my anthems as I was growing up. I absolutely love that. So who influences you, Fichtna?
Well, go right back to the beginning, it varies from, obviously we all grew up with traditional Irish music, and there's an energy to that music that is unquestionable and is amazing. And I think that informs the way we play even our rock and roll music, you know, and we certainly also play traditional Irish music as well. So whether those bands are, you know, bands going back to the early 1970s like Planxty and Boffy Band to more recent traditional bands. We look at Bioga, look at the success they're having now as a result of their association with Ed Sheeran. It's amazing. And then there's a band called New Road that I really like, you know, Leonard Barry, and they're doing really interesting things. But then, you know, I grew up then on a diet of blues music and Bob Dylan. And, you know, I saw a TV program just out of the blue, and I'll never forget it. It was one of those things on BBC that was being presented by a guy called Alexis Corner. from Blues Incorporated, and you know that got me into listening to John Lee Hooker and B.B. King. But then I got into bands like, you know, well, Dylan and the Rolling Stones, huge influences throughout my childhood. Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix. But then also when ska came along in the late 70s, early 80s, I was really into bands like The Specials and The Beat. And all that music is rooted in Jamaica. And then, of course, you've got Jamaican music. And then, you know, we ended up making a record with a man who was known as the godfather of reggae, a man by the name of Joe Higgs. And Joe came to Dublin in the late 1990s, and we made an album together, which we ended up calling The Godfather of Reggae. We recorded half of it in Dublin and the other half of it in Jamaica in the late 1990s. And it was only released about a year ago. And I wrote my song, Magic Bracelets, which appears on the Hot As Flowers Into Your Heart album, as a tribute to Joe. Joe passed away, sadly, a couple of years after we had been working with him. And we saw him, myself and Liam and Peter went to visit him in Los Angeles, where he lived, when he was where he really wasn't well. He had become very unwell. Mm-hmm. And to sit with him in those final days of his, where he, you know, put the cassette of our music into his ghetto blaster in his room, in his bedroom, and said, "This is some of the best music I've ever made," was like an incredibly privileged moment. So, you know, the whole thing is influences. People can influence you, people like Joe, as much as music as well, and encounters with people that are so special. You know, that was such a privileged encounter to meet and work and become friends with somebody like him. You know, and we spent Christmas with him in Jamaica in 1998 or 1999, and we ended up, you know, recording every day. And then, you know, we went to a party on New Year's Eve that year in Chris Blackwell's house, who was, you know, the man who started Island Records. And, you know, Joe was such a huge part. He was arguably one of the first reggae singles to ever have been released, Higgs and Wilson, in 1958. And to tap into that history and to encounter people like that. But then you bring it back here. And, you know, we've met people like Donald Lunny and, you know, Micheál O'Donnell from the Bothy Band, I remember meeting in Portland, Oregon, years ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's an amazing life.
Wow. Is there something else we should be looking out for? I mean, you're
goodness,
at reinventing and collaborating, and of course we can always listen to you on the radio as you're broadcasting yourself. But
well, at the moment that's about it. We're, you know, trying to finish the Flowers record to get it out on a proper general release, and you know, and then we're nearly finished with the Lisa Fiacna and the Martin record. That Lisa Lamb's new record should be done as well fairly soon. And then, you know, we're gigging. Other than that, you know, I made a solo record as well a number of years ago, which I kind of put up on iTunes and never said anything to anybody about it. It's just kind of there. It's there. It's called Bougainvillea. And there's some songs on that that I'm really proud of. And I don't know why I didn't make much more of a noise about it. I kind of saw it as a kind of a home recording. I recorded it at home when I was living in France, just in kind of in my bedroom, you know, and I kind of then thought, oh, I always kind of envisioned maybe I'll redo this with a bunch of people in the studio, but I never did. And then I just put it up on iTunes anyway, so it's there too.
And of course, you know, I mean, so people can come out on Thursday, this coming Thursday.
Yeah.
In Liverpool Town at the Bulmers Festival, which is an amazing festival. I mean, you know, I don't know if you're into your horses yourself, are you?
Not a passing interest, not hugely. You know, if I end up doing these gigs at the horse racing, and sometimes you'd have a little bet on something, but I tend not to go horse racing myself by choice. Oh, you know, it's just, you know, not that I've nothing against it. I think it can be a great day out, and I've had several great days out at the races. But it's just, you know, no, if I'm not working, I'm usually at home with the kids. I've got two small kids at the moment, and they also keep you busy.
I know you're a father of five, I believe. Wow.
I am indeed. Yeah, two of whom are under five.
So on Thursday, people can come out, and what can they expect? Will there be some of the old songs as well as the new stuff? What's it going to be?
Old and new and tunes and, you know, yeah, you can expect a little bit of everything. Yeah. You know, if you've blown all your money on the horses, you can commiserate and have a little celebration with us. On the other hand, if you've won a ton of money on the horses, you can come and celebrate with us. It works both ways.
Good. I'm looking forward to myself speak now. My instinct, this is a bit cheesy now, but I want to say, don't go, don't leave me now. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you now, and
not at all.
Look forward to seeing you on Thursday, and thank you so much for talking to us here on The Art Show on Near FM.
Lovely to chat to you, Maura. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye, Vic.